The people of Israel began a journey out of Egypt, but not all of them made it to their final destination. In fact, there were quite a few significant turning points along the way where decisions were made. That's poor decisions. These decisions ended their journey prematurely. Do any of them come to your mind? Which ones? How about when they complained about the manna and they craved meat? Seemingly a small thing, but God struck them with a plague and then afterwards named the place something like Grave of Greediness. So it wasn't just for no reason that he did this, but it was because of a poor decision that the Israelites, those specific Israelites, made at that time. Then there was the plague on the spies who were picked to go out and spy out the land, and they came back with a false report. Because of this slanderous report, because of the false reporting of the land of Canaan that they made to Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the congregation, these men died in a plague before God. Of course, there was the big one. The people were persuaded by these reports. They lifted up their voices, they cried, they wept that night. They said such things like, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, if we had died in the wilderness. I mean, seriously? What were they thinking? That they'd rather go back to slavery than to face what they had ahead? They said, let us select a leader and return there. Again, a very poor decision, one that ended basically their chance to go to the promised land, the physical promised land. And because of that decision, now they were going to be committed to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, a day for every year that the spies spied out the land. It wasn't an immediate end to their life, unless, of course, they did something foolish, which, guess what? They did. Now, it's interesting, and I even found it somewhat humorous, that here they are, and they take the congregation of Israel, they take this report, the false report, and they get so upset with what Joshua and Caleb were saying, that they were giving a good report, saying, hey, let's go take the land, because if God is with us, then we can do this. They despised these words so much that they wanted to stone them. They wanted to take up stones and stone them. And if it wasn't for the intervention of God, they probably would have. But here it is now. The spies have been killed and plagued. God says, pronounces on them this judgment that you have to go and wander through the wilderness for 40 years. Now they want to transgress him again and go into the wilderness. I mean, not to the wilderness, into the land of Canaan. So now they've changed their mind in the course of one chapter. They're saying, okay, now we'll go. And they said, we're going to go up on the hill. And again, they were going against what God had said and what Moses was not going to be a part of this. The Ark of the Covenant was not going to be a part of this. And yet they go up there, and what happens? Presumably many of them were killed because they were indeed attacked by the Amalekites and the Canaanites and forced back. So did they learn their lesson? No, of course not. Because more events like this, more turning points in their lives presented themselves, and they kept making the wrong decision. The Israelite men had sex with the Moabitish women. They worshiped the god of Baal. They were hung. Men were hung because of this idolatry. 24,000 men ended up being killed until Phinehas ended it all when he stabbed Zimri and the woman that he was with a spear. And then there was the snakes that came through again, they were plagued with snakes that would bite them, and they would die until, God instructed a bronze pole to be put up with a snake on it, and they looked on it, and they were saved that way. But again, time after time, they made these poor decisions along the way, along their journey. Now, how many adults were there when they started out of the land of Egypt? Well, the Bible tells us that there were 603,550. It numbered the men. That didn't include all the women, the Levites, and the children that were 20 and less. There were 603,550 men that left Egypt. How many of those made it into the promised land? Two. That's not very good odds. What happened? Well, God held the people responsible, held them individually responsible, and even collectively responsible. In the end, because of these poor decisions, how many made it? Well, what lesson do we take from this? Let's not guess. Paul tells us in Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 3, beginning in verse 7, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews 3 and verse 7, Paul talks about these specific events. So beginning in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," or enter into that promised land. So now verse 12, the lesson for us. "Beware, brethren," talking to you and me, as well as his audience then, "beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How did the Israelites start their journey? Well, let's pick it up at the 10th plague, the last plague. They were told to paint put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost. If they did not do that, then they would be killed. Well, they did do that. They indeed did do that because they believed. They were ready for salvation. They were ready to be saved. And because they did that, because they believed, they were saved. They did not die when the death angel came over them. They made good decisions. When it came time to cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Red Sea. Now, why did they cross the Red Sea may be up for debate whenever you have the Egyptian army coming at you from behind. But still, nonetheless, they still had that option to do it or not to do it. Well, they did it. And because of that good decision, they were saved. So each of these were turning points where they kept their eye on the goal and they stayed on the track. They believed that they would be saved from God if they did what God said, or saved by God if they did what He said. They may have believed because they had no other choice to believe, which, again, still they believed. But nonetheless, they obeyed, and the journey that they were on did not end prematurely. They did not go down the wrong path because they made the right decisions in the beginning. They believed, as verse 12 was talking about. They did not have yet that evil heart of unbelief. Verse 13 of Hebrews 3 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So exhort one another. In the example of Korah, another example during their journey in the wilderness, 250, including Korah, were swallowed up in a rebellion. But not just them, not just the men, their wives. And it says their little children. It specifically says little children. So we don't even have to guess if they were under 20, or maybe this was just the guys that were old enough to be making these decisions that they let stand. No, it was the little children. And because of the actions of some, they jeopardized the lives, they jeopardized the journey of others. it even spread to the rest of the congregation because they did not do what Paul was talking about here in exhorting one another. It was just the exact opposite. Because they did not, because they had this root of rebellion within them, the people came up after witnessing this, after seeing Korah and the others swallowed up by the earth, they came up to Moses and Aaron and said, "You killed the people of God." They looked at Korah and these guys and said, "These were the right ones. These were the gods. These were the guys who were following God. And you killed them." And you got to go, okay, exactly what were you thinking? But because of that, because it wasn't the exhorting, it was the exact opposite, 14,000 more died. They made the wrong decision at this one turning point where they could have seen what Korah was doing and see what God did to them for what they did. But no, they made a poor decision and ended their journey prematurely. Verse 14, Hebrews 3. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast." The beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We, brethren, have started on a journey in the right way. And like Matthew says, we must endure to the end. But there are going to be these opportunities along the way, these potential turning points, very crucial ones, ones that can end our journey or send us off on a tangent. We need to do what verse 15 says. He says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? And brethren, have we not all heard the word of God and understood it? Verse 17. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Because they did not believe. Over the next several decades, they slowly died off. This 40 years, in a sense, was a punishment of attrition. You know, he didn't kill them like he did all the others, but he says, you're not going to the promised land. And they wandered, and they died through bad decisions because they were growing older. But none of them, for whatever reason they died, was going to make it to the promised land. Because, verse 18, to whom did he swear that he would not, that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we can see that they could not enter in, verse 19, because of unbelief. If we believe, then we will obey, and we will do. If we don't really believe it, we don't do it. If we believe in God's way, we will trust in it and abide in it and steadfastly stay in it until the end. We will continue to turn away from the old life. We'll leave sin and its captivity, as Egypt symbolized, and as I'm sure we're going to hear more about in the upcoming holy days. And we'll keep heading in the right direction. And we'll make godly decisions at each potential turning point. So a question for you is, how far will your journey be? Take courage, have faith, trust in God, and you will make it all the way to the end.